Okay, good morning. We dedicate our learning, as always, Refuah Shleima to Chola Yisrael, particular Harav Gavriel Pinchas ben Devorah Zlata. So we're continuing Shorim B'Tfilah on the parak of Chiloy. Rav Pinchas has been developing the idea of the blessing that we have to have the text of Tfilah the way we do, that rather than have to come each and every day and try to compose our own meaningful Tfilah to the Ribono Shel Olam, we're able to tap into the immortal wisdom of our great sages who composed what became internally significant and relevant text for all of us. We're on page Kuf Chav Dalet Ozvav. Says Rav Pinchas, "Uveklal achas min askulos hagedolos me'advar ma'orim esakavana u'mekilim al iyan ha'machshava shlo teshot etena v'heina." He says, "You know what? This is his word. You know what the greatest segula is to have kavana in davening. The greatest segula for kavana in davening is not a red string on your wrist, and it's not even having pitamak toras on a cloth, and it's not wearing the talus over your head, and it's not having the thick tzitzis on the corners. What is the biggest skula for having successful kavana and tefillah? He lahavin es hatefillah, is to understand what you're saying. To understand what you're saying. Shezahofich esmanei hatefillah na'oneg v'hanah. It transforms davening from a burden and an obligation and a bore into a pleasure that you anticipate and look forward to." Kosova Ramchal, Bakhtomas Derech Hashem. Ki omnam tzir chalokim rabbi mashalonot akishram madrigostam amiti bebinyan akol amurkov mehem. Eitzel asichel amishtokek ladas eino elamasa kaved below chemda. Shehiga bo v'yamo v'nila v'ayev v'ein nachas. God created us, says the Ramchal of Moshe Chaim Lutzato. God created us as intelligent, thinking, thoughtful, insightful beings. And therefore, one of the most painful things for us is when we're in a position to have to suspend our intellect, when we're in a position to have to stop thinking, it creates a great sense of burden and boredom and pain. Aval kishu mevin abinyan ana azeh, when you're intellectually drawn, I mean, think about it. When you're sitting at a lecture that's boring, when you're sitting at a dinner that's killing you, it's never ending, when you're sitting at the rabbi's drasha where he's going nowhere, there are few things more painful. You have nothing, right? Especially it's Shabbos. I don't know how people attended dinners before smartphones, but if you're a Shabbos, so you have nothing to distract. It's rude. You can't open the chumash. You can't start reading a book. It doesn't stop some people, but it's still rude. You can't open a book, a chumash. So what do? It's boy, your mind. You're going crazy. You're going crazy when you're not intellectually stimulated, and the opposite. You're forced to shut down your intellect. It drives you crazy. Says the Ramchal, because we were created as intellectual beings. So all the more so, if davening for you is an exercise, imagine that I assigned a task to a class of kids. Said every day we're going to start school by, for 45 minutes, we're going to read phonetically a Japanese chapter of a book. Right? No one in the class understands Japanese. No one can read Japanese. Okay, phonetically, we'll transliterate or whatever the term is, and we'll just mouth out the Chinese. It would be torture. Well, for many of our kids, and for some of us, for most of us, sadly, coming to shul and davening is the equivalent of being forced to read Chinese every morning and every evening. Right? If we were put a gun to our head and said, translate this sentence, translate this paragraph that you've been saying for 40, 50, 60 years, the chances, the odds would not be in our favor. We've been saying Chinese every morning and every evening, which the Ramchal says is the description of torture. Right? It's torturous. Seder atfila kavu maracha nifla shlemevinosa harizmani atfila imizmani tanug v'simcha v'hana. But the opposite is true. If you're attending a lecture, if you're engaged in learning in which you are intellectually stimulated and challenged, in which you get goosebumps, you get a high. This is incredible. What an amazing insight. What an incredible way of thinking about it. What a paradigm shift. That's incredible. So when that happens, it's an incredible high. You don't realize the time flew by. What? This lecture's been going on an hour? It feels like it was 2 minutes. I don't want it to end. This chavrus has been going on an hour? I feel like we just sat down. I don't want it to end. So the secret to anticipating and loving and looking forward to and longing and enjoying davening is to understand what you're saying, is to study the davening. When you understand the davening, it does two things. It brings you closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, because now you actually understand what you're saying. Davening can be the effective medium that it's meant to be. And number two, you appreciate and tap into the incredible wisdom contained therein. There is no pleasure like the pleasure of wisdom. We make the mistake of thinking that in our bookcase, I've got my Chumash that I study, I got my Shas that I study. Maybe I even have my Navi that I study, my Musa that I study, my Halacha that I study. And what do I do with my Siddur? I zug it. I say it. I don't study it. So Pinkus is reminding us that the Siddur is also a Sefer. The Siddur is also a Masechta. The Siddur is also worthy of our analysis and our study, of our plumbing its depths. And the more time that you allocate to studying the Siddur the way you do Pirkei Avos, study the Siddur the way you do a book, study the Siddur Lahavdil the way you do the Wall Street Journal in the morning, if you take the time to understand it, to dissect it, to savor it, then you'll both look forward to davening and you'll get a high, an intellectual high, out of appreciating the chap. Speak to Mr. Senders. Every other day Mr. Senders comes at you with a pasuk and he says, what do you think this means? And then he gives you a grip shot. But when he says, what do you think this means, every time you feel stupid. Because you say, wow, I've been saying that forever. And it never occurred to me, what do you think that means? I don't even mean the comprehension. You can translate the words. But what do you think it's getting at, specifically this way? So he's reading the Siddur every single day like it's a sefer. He stops in the middle of his davening. One second, that pasuk, oh, what's the chat? What do you think that means? What's it getting at? What was David HaMelech saying in Tehillim? Why not Shei Knesset Zagadola incorporated? What does it mean in Shemoneh Esrei Dafka? This order, this bracha is in front of this bracha, which the Chazal tell us the order. When you learn it up, you appreciate it more, and you get a learning geschmack out of this Siddur. As a tefillah tzarich lavin gam bechlal v'gam beprat. Davening, you have to understand in its macro and its micro. Bechlal adas ma'in ha'agdara shel kochelik mechalke ha'tfilah. Ma'u gedr shel psuke dezer, ma'u gedr shel brachos krishma, ma'u gedr shmona esrei, zeu bechlal. The macro is to see the themes of davening. What's the purpose of psuke dezer? Where am I going with brachos krishma? Why? What am I saying in the Amida? That's the macro. Uveprat, tzorach ladas, muvano biuro shel koprat uprat. So that's the macro, to understand the themes, the development, the direction of tefillah. But then the specifics is to be able to understand the detailed words. Umekubal b'shem Rabbeinu Rav Itzel Belzer, Zchusa yagin aleinu, Shasuga b'megillah shal seder yudches brachos, Minayim she'omrim avos, Minayim she'omrim gvuros, Hiskula l'kavana b'shmona esrei. Oh, Rav Itzel Belzer had a tradition that if you want a skula for davening well, which it's very understandable. What did he mean it's a skula, by the way? He didn't mean it's a skula like heebie-jeebie, mystical, you know, say this three times, read Pitamak Torah Sanaka, wear the red bendel, don't step over somebody lined up. He didn't mean a skula, put a key in yachala, he means it's a skula, means it works. You know how you can have better kavana? Go to the Gemara Megillah and study the sugya where Chazal tell us why they organized the order of the Amida the way they did. Happens to be a great exercise. Before you go to the Gemara Megillah, just open the Siddur and have a conversation with your children, with your spouse, with yourself, with your friend, and try to figure it out. Why first you have in the Bakasha section, first you have Chachma, and then Ashivenu, and then Slach Lanu. Shouldn't Slach Lanu come before Ashivenu? And why is Bina the first thing that you need in order to achieve the other things? Chazal give us incredible insight into all of this. Your Shmon Esrei, what he means by it's a skula, Rav Itzel Belzer, is you'll never daven Shmon Esrei the same way again when you realize, well, if ain't Bina, there's no Avdalah Minai. If you don't have a Bina, then you can't understand the rest of Brachos. Of course, Bina is the first, it's the foundation upon which everything else is built. So when you learn the order and you understand and appreciate it, you can't wait to say Shmoneh Esrei again. Because the next time you say Shmona Esrei, you get a gishmak. Oh, I know why V'lam Hashinim is here. I know why only he could have written it. Shimon HaTzadik, I understand. I understand why the order is the way it is. You get a gishmak. You can't wait to daven again. Particularly the end of davening, where we're much more lenient on the ability to interrupt and talk, right between Ashrei Lam Natzeach Uvalotzion Aleinu and so on. Once you get past Tachanun, we are much more lenient in terms of interruptions. So people equate the leniency with disregarding. People are much more lax in their attitude towards it. You're taking your tefillin off, you're schmoozing with the person next to you, you're already closing the siddur, you're already halfway out the door, you're already in your car, by the time you're saying the shir shayom. I'll tell you, I'll end with a confession. I would challenge almost anyone here, almost, to translate the Shir Shayom. And I don't just mean translate the words, but I mean, what's the Shir Shayom about? And why is it relevant to that day? And why do we choose of all of Tehillim, specifically those Tehillim? What's David HaMelech getting at? How many of us have studied Shir Shayom? If we study Tehillim, right? You'd go to a Tehillim Shir, oh, what a Geshmak Shir I heard on Tehillim. Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, or this one, that one. Oh, I heard a Geshmak Shir on Tehillim. But if I say, let's look at the Siddur, I look at the Shir Shayom, what are we, kindergartners? What are we doing? But the Shir Shayom, you say every day. You don't think we should understand the Shir Shayom? You should say a different one. But every week you say the Shir Shayom. So as an example, the end of davening should not be disregarded because it's the end of davening. Okay, we have to end here. Have a fantastic rest of the week.